seconds. Did you ever think you would make it? I feel I'm so close, I could taste sweet victory. I know this life meant for me. Yeah. Why would you bet on Goliath when we got Bet David? Value taming, giving value's contagious. This world of entrepreneurs, we get no value to haters. Now they run, homie, look what I become. I'm the one.
Okay, we are on home team today. Sauce, Vinny, we got Tom in the house, Biz Doc, as well as Rob, a.k.a. Malik in the house as well. Okay, home team, a lot of topics. We haven't had a chance to talk issues all week long. Mm-hmm. Your suit looks amazing, but the pants look sharper.
Thank you.
The pants
sharp. Actually, not, they're not pants. They were painted on.
You're not wearing anything under the
Tom
desk,
was like,
from what
the
I understand.
Zipper's weird. I go, that's not a zipper.
Very, very impressive.
Get that piercing.
This will be the first time any of our experts have done a podcast. This is a good thing about camera angles is Vinny's actually wearing briefs right now.
Yep.
Okay. And today's podcast is sponsored by, I think, who was it? Yours is Hanes, or who are you going
with? I love
is
it Hanes. I can't.
Hanes from Costco. Hanes, or which Hanes?
The packet. Yeah. I'm still wearing brand new ones. From
Gentlemen, Calvin Klein.
We got a lot to talk about. Here's what happened. By the way, every time this guy gets on TV, he scares the crap out of people.
Mids.
Jerome Powell gets out there, and there's a video of himself and Senator Kennedy going back and forth. We'll talk about it. Wall Street Journal, Fed explores faster rate increases. Boom! What happens? Dow, NASDAQ down 1.5%. You got S&P's down 1.5%. You got everybody down 1.5% pretty much yesterday after this announcement was made.
Mayday.
I don't know if you heard what FTC is doing. They have demanded the Twitter turn over internal communication related to owner Musk, as well as detailed information about layoffs. Documents viewed by the Wall Street Journal. I wonder why the FTC is now investigating Elon Musk. There's a guy that said this year is going to be called the year of
investigations.
There's more investigations going on. U.S.-China having more problems. We'll talk about that. Tucker, January 6th, I think what is trending right now on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken, what is trending on Twitter right now is Tucker Carlson is a liar. We'll talk about whether the folks getting that hashtag to be trending is are right or wrong. Five takeaways, New York Times, from Ron DeSantis' book. You got Vivek Ramaswamy, who was just on the podcast 6 or 7 weeks ago, rips Trump vows to banish FBI and 10 Fed agencies. That'll be an interesting one to talk about. AOC and Kevin O'Leary went at it. I think Kevin O'Leary, I mean, he had some, whether you like what happened with FTX or not, his thoughts on what AOC has done, calling her the top job killer in America, was powerful. There's some things Jamie Dimon said. I don't know if you saw what Jamie Dimon said about a couple different states in America. They may want to pay attention
He's
to
a fan of
where they're investing. Couple states. It's very important to know. TikTok is limiting teens to 60 minutes of screen time a day, but, and there's a big but.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Twitter revenue took a big hit. iPhones are making a plant in Indiana, $700 million. We'll talk about that. Financial Times had an article, Who to Fire? How do biggest companies plan mass layoffs? We'll definitely talk about Powell. We'll talk about car debt piles up as more Americans struggle to make payments. Hannity gives interview to Ron DeSantis before Trump. And half of America lost their minds. How could you do that? A bill is being pitched on 4-day work week, which is being reintroduced in the House as idea gains speed. By the way, I did some digging on this one. It'd be interesting to see if you can guess what country, without Googling this, what country works the least amount of hours per week and what that number is. We'll talk about that. Manchin had some things to say to Biden. You can't just tax your way out of debt. We got some rules on China and investments. An ex-NBC doctor gets no jail time after asking a girl, 9-year-old, for nudes. Pretty wild when you hear these stories. Okay, so let's go into the first story, which is people want to know what is going on. Just 2 days ago, Wall Street Journal said the fact that, you know, mortgage applications in the month of February were the lowest in 28 years. A lot of people were concerned. 30-year fix was at 6.65 if your credit is flawless. A lot of people are paying 7.5 points right now. Had a call yesterday with a guy that runs a mortgage company out of LA with 100 loan officers. He says February was his worst month in his career in loans and selling real estate across the board for all of his guys. And we talked about a little bit on what message I gave him. But Tom, I'm going to go over to page 8, story. Fed chair opens door to faster rate moves and a higher peak. Okay, a higher peak. Powell's comments were that the clear's acknowledgement yet that the recent reports showing inflation remains stubborn and that the job market remains resilient are likely to shake showing inflation up the policy trajectory for American central banks. Powell suggested that the peak rate projection of 5 to 5.25 for interest rates would need to be adjusted by more than that without specifying how much more. Tom, how bad is this going to get?
We said it was happening and it's here. Right now, just for everybody's reference, the federal rate is 4.5. It's in a quarter point span, the way they do it. And what that means, that's what banks borrow the money from, and then they turn that into car loans, mortgages, and things like that. At the beginning of the year, Pat, people thought that the rate increases were going to stop probably around May or June and then start getting some reductions.
Yep.
So that car loans would be more affordable as we hit back to school. Mortgages may be more affordable fourth quarter, third quarter. That's what people thought, that the first half of Tale of Two Cities, first half of 23, kind of tough. Second half of 23, things getting better, a little bit of sunshine. Well, economic data came out and it looks bad. It looks like inflation is really hot and not being tamed. In the last podcast, we talked about Larry Summers said, hey, the Fed's really behind the curve here. They got to make a move. And guess what? Jerome Powell yesterday said, we're going to be raising rates. He won't say how much, but everybody is basically, and the market has reacted. Everybody saw the market down, that it's going to be a half a point in about a week on March 22nd. What they're worried about is that it'll also be a half a point on May 3rd, and then a quarter point in June, a quarter point in July. So that is a point and a half that would take it not to the 5.5. Remember everybody thinking 5.5?
Yep.
But all the way to 6, maybe 6.25. And so with those rates up, mortgages just hit a wall. We covered it on the last podcast, a 28-year low in the number of mortgages per week. 28 years. That's phenomenal. And so it basically translates to car loan percentages, interest rates are not going down anytime soon, probably not until fourth quarter, the way this is looking. Because
I want to show you this. If you can play this clip with Jerome Powell yesterday, him and Senator Kennedy going back and forth. And what's important about this, it's 3 minutes and 45 seconds. I asked Elon if he can speed up the stuff on Twitter. I don't think they have it yet to do the playback speed. I think you just have to play it at the speed that they have. But everybody has to watch this exchange. Watch this. Typically, when you see these things, what do you think about? The guy's not going to admit to anything. Yeah. He's going to play bullshit. He's going to play dumb. He's going to play Watch what Powell does. He doesn't stonewall. He just tells you, yep, that's what's going to happen.
You're looking for
that's what's going to happen. There is zero fluff answers here. He straight up gives it to you. Play the clip. Watch this.
Anti-fluff.
You're raising interest rates.
Yes, sir.
You're raising interest rates to slow the economy, are you not?
Yes, to cool the economy off.
And one of the ways you measure your success, other than fluctuation in gross domestic product, is the unemployment rate. Is it not?
Yes, one of the measures.
Okay. So in effect, I'm not being critical. When you're slowing the economy, you're trying to put people out of work. That's your job, is it not?
Not really. We're trying to restore price stability.
No, you're trying to raise
not wages.
You're trying to raise the unemployment rate. I know you don't like the phrase, so let me strike it. You're trying to raise the unemployment rate, are you not?
No, we're not trying to raise it. We're trying to realign supply and demand, which could happen through a bunch of channels. Like, for example, just job openings.
All right,
let me
put it another way, okay? The Economist did a wonderful study. They looked at 10 disinflationary periods in America going all the way back to the 1950s. Disinflation is
Watch
what
this.
You're trying to do. It's
Watch
a
this.
Slowing in the rate of inflation. Am I right?
Yes.
In other words, prices don't go down, they just don't go up as fast. Deflation is when prices actually go down. You're trying to achieve disinflation, are you not?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Based on history, in the 10 times that we got inflation down, disinflation since the 1950s, in order to reduce inflation by 2%, unemployment had to go up 3.6%. Now, that's history, is it not?
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but yes, the standard has been that there
not
have
fighting.
Been recessions and downturns when
okay.
the Fed has tried
Watch
to reduce
inflation. Watch how this ends. What
right
number?
Now, the current inflation rate 6.4% and the current unemployment rate is 3.4%. Now, if history is right, I'm not asking you to again blame anybody, but if history is right, unless you get some help in order to get inflation down from 6.4% to, let's say, 4.4%, and the unemployment rate is going to have to rise to 7% based on history.
That's what the record would say.
Okay. And to get inflation down to 2.2%.
Watch this.
Based on history.
Here we go.
An immutable fact.
Watch.
Unemployment would have to go to 10.6%. Would it
Uh-oh.
Not?
Uh-oh.
I wouldn't.
That's what the
yeah,
record shows. That's what the history shows.
Watch.
I don't think that kind of a number is at all in play here.
I know you're reluctant to admit it, and you don't want to get in the middle of a policy dispute. But I think it's undeniable. It's undeniable that the only way we're going to get this sticky inflation down is to attack it on the monetary side, which you're doing, and on the fiscal side, which means Congress has got to reduce the rate of growth of spending and reduce
yes.
the rate of growth of,
yes,
of debt
you
accumulation.
Do. Yes,
now,
you do.
I get that you don't want to get in the middle of that fight. But the more we help on the fiscal side, the fewer people you're going to have to put out of work. Isn't that a fact?
Please answer.
Could work out that way.
Could
sir,
work out that
could
way.
Could work out that way.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank
wow.
you, Senator Kennedy. Senator Reid of Rhode
Pause
Island's
this.
Ready.
Watch this. Zero hiding anything. Now, here's the thing. Kennedy is a what? He's a Republican, right?
Yeah, from Louisiana.
Jerome Powell was assigned by who?
Trump.
And he's still here by who?
Biden. Yeah.
So he is... He is both
unbiased, but he knows.
I think he's
about.
Disliked by both sides. 100%. Okay, mm-hmm. Let me tell you.
Are
guys.
You saying disliked or
by both
disliked?
Sides.
Yeah,
disliked.
I love
that name. He's disliked by both sides. And let me tell you, this is going to sound weird. He's exactly where he needs to be. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's my opinion. Yes, you have to not be spending more money and forcing Congress to not have a bigger budget. Yes. Yes, we have to do. Yes, you have to kind of go through this. What do you want to do? Delay the time bomb even more and more and more for other people? What else do you need to do with this? We're going to go through a season that's going to suck. I'm talking to this guy yesterday. First question I asked, how much money you got saved? He says, we're good. Okay, good. Because, you know, one of our MOs is you got to always have your cash in place so you don't have to make desperate decisions. I said, just so you know, how long do you think this is going to last? I'm asking this guy who's in the real estate business. Him and his wife are on. He says, Pat. We're not counting 23 as a year where anything's going to go our way. I say that's good because that's probably what's going to end up happening to the real estate and a mortgage.
They're bracing for the storm, right?
They are. And by the way, there are some great crusaders who are in the real estate and the mortgage side that have convinced everybody everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
This season is coming. Hmm. And when unemployment, remember when he asked the question, when should I do, and all of a sudden, what number should I hit? And I said, we looked at unemployment by states. And remember, Nevada was at 5%. I'm like, wow, look at Nevada. And it's like, no, they went from 23% to 5%. Okay. If this thing goes the way it's going, unemployment hits 5, 6, 7. He's saying 10 point something percent. Listen, when is the last time unemployment hit 10% outside of COVID?
Outside of COVID,
don't
yeah.
count COVID. Outside of COVID.
And Pat, that's 10%.
I think the nice man is in hospice care in Plains, Georgia.
Was. Yeah. This is Jimmy Carter. Before I was even born, probably.
Is that what it is? 70s?
Late 70s?
I think it's 79, 80. When is the last time? If you just go to history of unemployment rate, that's all you got to do. History of...
Certainly not in my lifetime.
History of unemployment rate. They go 1982, 10.1. The last time it hit double digits was 1982, 10.1. And so, by the way, do you know the month that Joe Biden became president? I think that month or the following month, I did a video comparing him to Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Those two guys have a case study of this. Mm-hmm. It's called Jimmy Carter, and we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if it gets that extreme, right, that's what you're saying, if it gets to 10%.
Okay, so if you don't do that, then what is the alternative? Imagine if Powell doesn't do... So let's say Powell doesn't do what he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
the economy overheats, inflation runs amok, you know, pricing is out of control. I think Jerome Powell
is exactly right.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, Jerome Powell's doing what he's got to do.
I agree. He's got. And by the way, you know what I like about the way he took his position? He came. You know what he looked like? He looked like, listen, guys, I don't give a shit what you ask.
Yes,
we're raising the rates.
Thank you.
Yeah, what he looked like. But, left, right, middle. We're raising the rates. Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it's almost like that. Yeah,
I think what is? It's funny because Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. It seems like a caricature of a guy. I just don't know what the hell he's talking about. But he actually, in essence, did know. It just doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
But so he's a credible dude. He's been around forever.
He's a crazy smart senator. Dude. If you get past his accent and his old
style. That's my point. That's what I'm saying. He's a caricature. You can't get past the accent. But he was a former treasurer of Louisiana, senator, attorney, lawyer. He just happens to sound like he's a Wild Bill. But what
Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, bang, bang.
Yeah, bang, bang.
What we also know is that
I don't know what just happened.
No, it's the equivalent of a guy trying to come up to BizDoc who's been around the block a little bit, but not nowhere near BizDoc's level. And BizDoc's just like, okay, I'm hearing a pitch for the billionth time about raising capital. But how many conversations do you think Jerome Powell is an economist extraordinaire? This guy's a senator who kind of knows a little bit. I appreciate the questions. But Jerome Powell is a beast, and I think he's doing a great job. And I think
with a real even temper for that.
Yeah,
kind of
even
assault.
Temperament.
He's almost like that guy in Goodfellas, when like, oh, you can't.
By the way,
bill
what's his birthday, real quick, Jerome Powell? This is random.
February 32nd.
No. That's
you guys are.
Pat, you nailed that. I'm buying a
February
lot of
4th. Oh, that's also my birthday, so I'm a big fan.
32nd. 32nd.
There you go.
But if you could give a grade to Jerome Powell, not a household name, at this juncture in the economy right now, what grade would you give him today?
I give him a solid A. Not an A-, not an A+, just a solid A.
I think he's got a hard job, bro. I think he's got a... You know what's the hardest job? Here's the hardest job. So think about it this way. The hardest job is when you're about to make a decision and your mom and dad have never, ever agreed on anything in their lives and they're divorced. So whatever your dad agrees on, your mom disagrees. Whatever your mom thinks is a good idea, your dad disagrees.
Such a great analogy.
You go to your mom and you say, hey, mom, here's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about lowering interest rates. What do you think? Terrible idea.
Did dad tell you to do that?
You go to your
dad, yeah. It's a horrible idea.
Terrible idea.
Does your father know you came up here to talk to me?
It's the first time ever in 50 years your parents have disagreed on the same thing, and you're confused. And you still think you're making the right decision. Yeah. That's Jerome Powell. So he's in a rough place, but listen.
But between unemployment and everything, you know, the bottom line here, and let's bring it home so everybody can understand this. The economy is in a pickle. You got unemployment and you got the interest rates. I mean, the
show it to what?
And no, we have some graphs to back
100%.
That up?
No, we're in a pickle. So basically, you guys know all the questions I always ask. So I have to wait till 2024 to think about buying unless there's a shift in listings in South Florida, right?
Pretty much.
But do you have any graphs to back up this pickle?
No, but you went through the numbers. So where is there like a chart that I could see to understand? Like, I understand the cheerleader being the economy and Jerome Powell's headed upstairs again next week.
Yet
right?
Again.
That's your That's your thing, upstairs. Right? But do you have a chart? You have something to...
Actually, Vinny, I think we might.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rob, do you have the interest rate chart?
Very interesting.
Look at that.
Very weird, biz, though.
You have the interest rate chart?
What's happening
everybody.
Here?
Let's take a look at this.
Yeah.
This is called a pickle chart.
Yeah.
So
I wonder why.
Yeah. So on the left-hand
side... Please
explain
what's going on with these pickles.
So on January 1st, the consensus estimates of economic people was the pickle on the left. See, thinking that it was going to get up to about 5.4, start to lose a little steam, and second half of the year is going to be looking a little bit better. The revised estimates that we're hearing now, because the economy is still overheated, is the pickle on the right. And unfortunately, that is a much more formidable pickle than the American economy was expecting.
Got it.
Yep. And that's it. And so the poor cheerleader is heading for a 0.5% romp next week on March 22nd. Another 0.5-point fling probably in
April. Tom, what is the national average of a pickle interest rate size? I mean, I don't know if that's you're going with this. I'm still sitting here waiting to see what...
Vinny, what are you going to say?
So, because I took notes. So a couple quarter point quickies in June and July... And then the interest rates will start deflating, or
that's right, and that's when mostly Powell, you know, we'll see what he needs to see, and he kind of runs out of steam in September.
Yeah. We definitely don't want the economy to run out of steam.
Please
and blow its
save the cheerleader because I really want to buy a townhouse or a house
for the audience. On behalf of the crew, we'd like to apologize for you having to see a couple pickles here. Just so you guys know. This is nothing.
It's a pickle.
It's just a chart. It's a chart.
By the way, I just had a hamburger today that Alper made, and there was pickles in it. It was great.
You don't like pickles?
I loved it. It was great. I took the onions out because there's a few things. Onions, cigarettes, certain things you shouldn't do in life.
Or around you, though.
And it's just, there's a certain smell. You touch your hands. Anyways, hey, today's sponsor, Aura. Listen, if you haven't yet done this, I've been in the insurance industry for 20-plus years. Everything is about preparation, anticipation, in case something bad happens to you. We don't buy insurance policies because we're dying tomorrow. We don't buy auto insurance because we're about to get into a car accident. You buy it because, God forbid, if something happens, your family's taken care of. The same way why you buy and subscribe to what Aura does to prevent if somebody decides to go take advantage of your stolen credit cards, passwords, on the dark web, any of that stuff. So if you go to Aura, Aura allows you to check to see how many of your passwords are being used on the dark web. They're an identity theft protection company, fraud monitoring, a VPN, password management, and antivirus software all combined into one easy-to-use app. And all of this you can get with Aura. Protect you and yourself from America's fastest-growing crime. Try Aura free for 2 weeks and see if any of your or your family's personal information has been compromised. Start your 14-day trial at aura.com/PBD. Once again, Aura, aura.com/PBD. Aura.com/PBD.
Tom? When the economy is tough, man, there's these fraudsters are out there trying to get after you.
10 times more than usual.
Yep.
This is going to be happening. That's a good point.
Yep.
Okay, so, next thing, if we want to get into this 4-day work week conversation that they're starting to have, a 4-day work week bill is being reintroduced in the House as idea gains speed. Okay, let's see if this is a good idea or a bad idea. By the way, the other day, Tom, I did a survey, okay? I did a survey, which, by the way, Kai and I are sitting there and we're debating what we believe the results of the survey are going to be. Before I get into this article, let me read you what the survey was. The survey was the 4-day work week. Okay, 4-day work week. Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Or you don't care? 25,000 people voted for this. Did you see this or no, Tom, the poll?
Was this on Twitter?
I have not seen the poll yet.
Okay, so 25,000 people voted for this on Twitter, the 4-day work week. What would you say? I think you just saw it, so I don't want
I
you
didn't.
To be.
I actually didn't see it.
Which one you think people voted for the most, from the least to the highest? Don't show it yet, Rod. I've just texted it to you. Let me ask the question again.
Right.
What are your thoughts on 4-day work weeks? Don't care. Bad idea? Good idea. What got the most votes? What got the least votes? Tom?
I would assume if we're talking 4-10, so I work 10 hours, 4 days, there's my 40 hours. I would assume good idea probably gets the most, and people would want like a 3-day weekend.
So you're saying most people voted for good idea. What do you say?
I'm the same as if I think people just right off the rip, knowing that they're going to have Friday off as well, I say they're going to say that's the most one.
And what's, so it's good idea, bad idea,
and
or,
don't care.
And don't care.
Oh, everybody cares, yeah. I'm assuming.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree. People want this.
Yeah. People. So, okay. So watch this. If you want to pull up the poll, this is what the poll results was.
Good idea.
55% said it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Half.
55%. So let me read this entire article. I got some thoughts on this, and I want to hear yours.
I can't
as
believe
well.
That there's 25% almost that don't care. It's your fucking life here, buddy. Yeah. I don't know. Come 5 days, 7 days,
Democratic,
2 days. I'll do whatever. I don't give a shit.
Democratic Representative Mark Takano from California plans to reintroduce a bill that will shorten the standard work week. Tom, it's not what you said. It's not for 10-hour work days. It's going from 40 hours to 32 hours a week, okay?
Which there's several bits of that. I'm going to let you finish.
The proposal would improve the quality of life workers, meaning the demand for more truncated work week that allows room to live, pay, play, enjoy life more outside of work. Mm-hmm. Takano bill has been endorsed by major labor unions like AFL-CIO, Union Food, and Commercial Workers and Service Employees International Union, as well as the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Is made up of 100 members of Congress. The proposal has historical precedent with labor unions successfully pressuring lawmakers to shorten the work to 8 hours of 4 days a week instead of five. Go ahead, Tom. I'll go to you first.
Can you read the last sentence of that paragraph in the middle there? That's important, Pat.
Hours worked past that period unless otherwise specified would be subject to
higher compensation.
There we go. Okay, so tell us about it, Tom.
This Takano, the Democrat from California, he is trying to move the overtime line. And he's doing it on a populist thing about a 4-day work week. Well, look, let me talk about two things. In California, 4-10s, it's called, is very common in the entertainment industry. Editors do it in Southern California. Those motion picture companies still having editors in Southern California. Universal's got them all in Orlando, Florida. And so a 4-10 means you work 10 hours, 4 days. Shooting schedules for entertainment, also very common, 4-10. So that's your 40 hours. What this guy is doing is saying the standard work week would be 32 hours. And hours work past that period subject to higher compensation. Code word, overtime. This is giving basically a raise. He's trying to give a raise to workers by moving the line on the 40-hour work week. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot can be said about a 4-day work week, especially if I commute a long way. Hey, if I'm commuting a long way away, maybe I want to work 4-10s. That's not so bad. That would be 8 to 7 with a 1-hour lunch in there. You know, maybe you want to do that. If I'm an editor and I just sit there cranking away or doing something like that, and then I take an extra day on my weekend, but I've worked my 40 hours. This guy's trying to move a burden onto employers, Pat, and move the overtime line.
Adam, what do you think about it?
I actually have very strong feelings about this. I think it's almost laughable. The work-life balance, I got to have a work-life balance. But this is very important for workers. Here's my suggestion. I love like when doctors, nurses, firefighters, where they like work their fucking ass off, and then they get to take like 3 days off, 4 days off. And I think we all know that the average worker just kind of comes, they work, they do their thing, whatever. I don't know, kind of have a gig. It's been a while since Pat has even thought about that, so he always laughs what the average man does these days. He was once that guy. But
because we're
like,
all
for me,
the timers now.
For me, I'm working 24/7. I'm never like not. I'm like, don't call me. I'm not working.
Yeah.
Here's my suggestion, though. If you're going to work 4 days a week, I wouldn't go from 40 hours to 32 hours. I would go from 40 hours to 45 hours. Mm-hmm. I would, that word truncated that we were discussing, I would mash in 4 days of fucking crushing it for your company. Mm-hmm. Give someone the option to do that. I think because the company is going to be open on Friday. Some companies are open 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Give the employee the option of what they want to do. Hey, you can do your standard 5-day, 40-hour week. If you want to work 4 days, you're actually going to work more hours, not less. And let them pick. I think if the sentiment of this poll is any indicator of what's going on, people actually kind of agree with this.
Listen,
okay.
I live in,
all right, let's see. I have some thoughts, but I want to hear you guys first. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, for somebody like me, Pat, working at Valuetainment, I have no family here. You guys are my friends. I'm coming in Monday through Friday. 4 days, get the hell out of here. People are going to go nuts in those 4 days. I like it Monday through Friday, keep it old school. then you have then those people are gonna start complaining about those 4 days. I'm like, can you believe they made us Adam made us do 45 hours?
Yeah.
That tyrant work. And then that shit, that problem.
When you're at work,
I
work.
Have an idea.
Can I offer one more thing here?
I got so many thoughts,
oh
but you
my
guys
God,
go.
It's
I'm gonna
coming.
This isn't last word. This is something to add on.
Here we go.
How many time zones in the United States? 3 outside of Hawaii. So the core,
four,
right?
Yeah.
So if you need people and you want to say, hey, we want to cover 9 to 5 in all time zones so that if you need something from us, you can call our home office, you can get customer service.
4 time zones. Eastern, Central, Mountain, Pacific, then Hawaii. 5, right?
No. It's the continental U.S. is just 3. You have to cover 3 hours. Because it's 3 hours between here and LA.
Keep going. Make your point.
And so what you do is you ask people and says, would you like to work this so that you can cover these hours so we can cover our customers? And we provided a vision to them. Hey, we're just trying to cover our customers. So it'd be 9 to 5 in any time zone. They can get a hold of us. We can answer questions and help them.
Okay.
So there's reasons to do it. Not this guy.
Can I get my thoughts? Here's my thoughts. Let me share some of my thoughts here. So number one, okay, for this whole concept. First thing we have to do is we have to define success. What is success? Okay, let's define success. Is success people having more time on their hands to chill out and do nothing? Is that what success is? Or is success building companies that creates jobs that the government doesn't have to come and bail people out? The moment we define success, every single decision is predicated based on the definition of success. The moment we do that, okay, so if we go with the first one and we say success is giving people more time on their hands, no problem. Let's investigate that. When you and I were kids, okay, I have 4 kids. You and I were kids. When we were kids, what's the secret sauce we've always heard parents did to prevent kids from doing stupid shit? What did parents do? How do you keep your kids away from making dumb decisions?
Give them activities after school.
Such as what?
Such as reading a book. You monitor their homework.
Sports.
They're playing basketball in the driveway with their friends. You know what they're doing, but they're active.
So let me ask you this. What happened when you and I as kids had too much time on our hands? Honestly, what did we do?
I lit fires with magnifying glasses and I burned.
What do we do if we have... And I'm being very serious
being
with you. What did we do when we had too much time on our hands?
I set fires.
My brother and I...
I was playing more sports, but for certain kids, they will get into more trouble.
No, not for certain kids. They will get in trouble if you have more time on your hands. You having more time on your hands, you're going to get in trouble. You are going to do, drugs, alcohol, gangs, porn, more video, stupidity the moment you have more time on your hands. Fine. Okay, so watch this. A lady who's a liberal from UCLA University goes and does a study to see how much free time produces good things with people. And you know what number she figured out? I'll read it to you here because we had to do the research on this based on a project that we're working on. Here's what she came up with. This is a lady named Mogilner Holmes. They did a research and a survey on 21,000 different people, and this is the number they found out, okay? They wanted to find out at what point is your mental health taking a shot. The study was specifically done when COVID happened. Everybody's being home. They're like, we got to figure this part out. How much free time is good? How much free time is bad? Here's what she realized. People need 2 hours of free time. Why? To be able to go out there and do their, your chores, pay the bills, go get the haircut, go do the shopping, all this other stuff. If it's less than 2 hours of free time a day, they have stress and anxiety. It's not good for them.
Gotcha.
So you got an hour and a half lunch and you got an hour at night. That's 2.5 hours. She said the moment it went to 5 hours of free time, stress and anxiety went up. Why? Because you started realizing, am I not valued? Am I not important? Can you not use me to do productive things? People want to be valued. If they're not being used to be valued, they see themselves as I'm worthless. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that good. I become bitter. I have an attitude. Now, let's continue a little bit more with this topic here on 4-day work week. Okay, so if we define success of producing companies that did very well, the country in the world that they work the least amount of hours a week. You know what country it is?
Italy.
It's Netherlands. Oh. You know how many hours a week? It's number one on the list. 29 hours a week is what they work. 29 hours a week. So we went through the bottom 10.
Smoking a lot of weed there in Amsterdam.
No question about it. 100%. So again, if we define success as production that the world benefits from your innovation, if that is the definition of success, you are not going to do it at a 29-hour, at a, what do you call it? At a
29 work week. I agree.
At a right there, they're doing 27 and a half hours. The study I saw was 29. It's gone down to 27 and a half hours. Netherlands, number one on the list.
What
the
else
least
is on
amount
this
of work
list?
They, hours they work. Germany's
Germany?
Next.
Wow.
They've dropped
you feel
as well.
Like they're so industrious.
They've dropped recently. This is a recent number. Keep going.
The Germans not working.
Keep going. Keep going. Norway.
Oh, Kai.
Kai, you lazy one.
Keep
Scandinavians.
Ulrich, get back
Denmark.
To Denmark.
Yeah. Keep
Denmark.
Going. Keep
happened.
Going.
These Democrat France. Socialists.
Keep going.
There they go. It's all in Europe.
Slovenia.
Keep going.
Go to Belgium? Europe on vacation.
Keep going.
Have to work.
Switzerland. Keep going.
They're just making one watch
Sweden.
A year.
Sweden. Keep going.
One watch a year.
Austria. Keep,
it's okay, all so, Europe.
But
what the hell
is
going on?
Here's a problem. Watch this here. Here's a question.
Yeah.
We looked at what companies they have invented that has come out of their countries that we've benefited from. We have
IKEA.
Benefited from. The reason why Europe can work as little as they do is because we innovate. They take advantage of.
Wow.
We fund NATO. They sit around and don't do shit. Europe is a socialist nation, not a nation. What do you want to call it?
Nation
continent.
State.
Well, Europe is basically
the union.
They are socialist because we allow them to become socialist. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me go to the next one here. Some industries 4-day work week works. Not all industries it does. There's another one. It depends on the phase of a company. If a company has been around for 100 years, it's a $100 billion company, they don't give a shit if you're 4-day work week.
Yeah.
I mean, like, well, go. They're already working 4-day work week. There's so many executives. I remember one insurance company. There was a guy that was making a fat salary with this big-ass insurance company all of us know about. You could never get a hold of them. You could never do anything with them. Never called you back. Never did anything. Work from home is making $500,000 a year, not doing shit. One day we had a meeting. I think you were part of that meeting. Do you remember what happened in that meeting? Very heated meeting. You know which one I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Where I said, why the hell are you giving me a rep like this that doesn't do shit? I said, let me tell you, doesn't call me back, doesn't do this. The guy got fired, okay? He had to leave, and he called me and says, what? I said, dude, I can't. Nobody can ever get a hold of you.
Yeah.
Nothing. You're not supporting us. There are a lot of major companies you can do the 4-day work week, maybe even midsize. There's no way in the world you can do 4-day work week in a startup. No way. Good luck to you. How the hell are you going to do a 4-day work week in a startup? You're not going to do it. So here's the point. I love it if they convince people to voluntarily go to a 4-day work week.
Yeah.
You know why? Huh. Because the people that are going to voluntarily do 6-day work weeks, game over. Totally fine. All the 4-day people go to the 4-day companies. All the 5-6-day people that want to go take over the world and make history and do something impactful,
exactly.
Come to us. We're okay with that. The level of consequences on a 4-day work week is so massive that all people are thinking about is, what is the next thing I can pitch for people to vote for me so I can get reelected and get another 8 years of salary and whatever else I need to be doing? It's a bunch
brilliant.
Of bullshit, but it's very marketable.
And Pat, COVID was one of the main reasons for all this talk.
Yeah.
Because people are like, bro, I'm doing everything from home. If I do come in now, I want to be here less than I would have been before. So let me stay home for one more day. Am I
Pat
right?
Knows what state was that media company in that I was running when I had to do all this?
California.
Oh.
Cali?
Oh. And what is that group in Sacramento, EDD? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were just a pain.
But
And so you get regulated into this. These things that I did to accommodate to get the job done, to get customer service. But you know what? My fantasy football team for my employees, Pat, you're absolutely right. It's the people that were there 6 days. That was my fantasy team.
Yeah, guess what though, man? The only thing that concerns me, if it is mandatory, if it's going to be volunteer, do it. I say I'll vote for it.
Yeah.
I'll vote for it if you want to do it volunteer. If it's volunteer, if it's mandatory, it's problematic. By the way, let me add another thing to you, and I'll wrap up. Yeah. I'll come to you. Early retirement, good thing or bad thing?
Well,
55 years old or 62 years old or 60, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
No, I do not like that.
Let me read this to you. Early retirement before the age of 60, I'm reading it to you from my computer.
Yeah.
Early retirement before the age of 62 has been associated with higher mortality rate risk.
Yep.
In some instances, a study of Shell Oil Company, watch this, a study of Shell Oil Company found those who retire at 55, listen to this, Tom, a study of Shell employees found that those who retire at 55 lived to be 65, died 37% sooner than those who retire at 65.
They're not doing anything, they're just stagnant.
Those
sitting
who retire at 55, 10 years before 65. Mm-hmm. They die 37% sooner. And in general, people who retire at 55 are 89% more likely to die within 10 years. Those that retire at 55 are 89% more likely to die within 10 years than those who retire at 65. So 40 work week is a form of retirement is what it is.
That's exactly what I said. The reason I held up those nine figures right there, Pat, where you were talking, is because I've heard after age 58, and this is what this is saying, retire whenever you want. You got 9 years.
Wow. That's scary. That's crazy.
That's what it's saying. Retire when you want. After age 58 or later, you have 9 years.
And Pat, why would you how would you correlate that to what? So are you saying because they're just sitting around, they're not active, they're not doing anything?
Bro, I want to feel important.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We are put here to feel important. You ever see these protesters that go out there and scream and you're like, what the hell? That is a form of
attention.
That girl feeling important.
Yeah.
Okay, we teach our kids how to feel important. If the way they get our attention every time they get in trouble, they're always going to get in trouble because that's how they get your love.
Yeah, mm-hmm, right.
It's the way we teach importance. When you're sitting around, you got nothing you're doing anything for, you're not making an impact, you feel useless. What the hell am I living for? Maybe I'm no longer needed. You're right. I'm no longer. And what am I?
I'm checking out.
Yeah, I'm checking out. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, if I could add to that, absolutely right. The number one thing that I think everyone is looking for, everyone that's listening to this right now, is having meaning and purpose to their life. No doubt. Mm-hmm. That's like above work, above starting a business. Everyone's searching for that. My whole thing was I went from being sort of, when I was young, not really trying to work, jack of all trades, nightclubs, having fun here and there, wasn't concerned about money. The exact opposite of building a business. And then I went all in into the finance world, and I'm working ridiculous amount, working like burning the midnight hour, making cold calls just for like 10 years, grinding. And then I look back and I'm like, holy shit, I've got money in the bank. I've got hundreds of thousands. I'm a millionaire. This is crazy. And what did I do at that point? I took the pedal off the metal and I went back. I started doing a 4-day work week. I said, Fridays, you can go fuck yourself. Like, don't call me. I'm not answering the phone. I was living in South Beach. Vacation time. Money in the bank. I'm not worried. I'm chilling. But that only lasts for so long. So at some point I said, all right, I'm going to Mykonos. I'm going to Saint-Tropez. I'm going to St. Bart's. I'm dating a girl. She lives in Europe, London. I'm having a great time. Travel. The girl and I don't work out. What happens? I'm like, all right, I want to do something. I'm sick of the travel. I've done it. I ask everybody, it's like, how often do you want to travel for? It's like, I want to travel the world. It's like, all right, after you do that, what are you going to do the rest of your life?
There's another world.
So then what I realize is now is that like having meaning and purpose in your life, I started a little Instagram show that Pat and I were like, this is years ago. He's like, start doing stuff. I was like, oh, I like this. And now I'm doing two jobs, working my ass off. So that Friday that I replaced now became every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm working on a side hustle because I wanted to have meaning and purpose in my life. I always say that my job is what I do. It's not who I am. There's a big difference, a big disconnect. This is a little bit more who I am. So money gives you options, right? So what happens is as I'm doing my job and I'm starting interviewing all these wealthy people, NALBA, Heckerling, financial conferences, I started asking the really, really rich people, the millionaires and the billionaires. And I said, all right, like after you get the millions and billions, like what do? Do you just retire? They're like, retire.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to do this forever. Yeah. Like because to Pat's credit, you want to have meaning and purpose in your life. It's not just about the money. And what I found out was that these really wealthy people didn't just retire and do nothing. What did they do? There's three major things. They travel. They pursue a passion, starting a podcast, whatever, right? Or they give away their money and they donate their money. Why? Because they want to leave a legacy. So there's different phases. I just kind of walked you through three phases. At one phase of just like, party guy, not worried about shit, you know, I don't care about money, to like, holy shit, money's pretty important.
Yeah.
Let me do that. I made money. Let me take my pedal off the metal. And then you kind of get re-engaged with the next phase of your career. You're big on chapters in your life, Pat, right? 0 to 20. Don't fuck it up. You mean you can kind of say what those things are. And then
yeah, by the way, Adam, you're making a very good point because you've experienced it, right?
Yeah.
Where you didn't have to do it.
It's personal.
And when you live like that, by the way, years go by so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't doing shit. All of a sudden, four years went by.
Yeah. Yep.
Not 4 years went by. Waste of a life when you do that for too long a time. But by the way, just to wrap this thing up, I'll just give you more logic side to this. What happens if a person's working 5 days, they go to 4 days? That's 1 on 5 is what? 20%, right? If a company loses 20% of labor, they have to hire 20% of labor, for the same amount, okay? So if they go have to make up the other 20% of hours that they're going to need the labor, what happens then? Then I have to raise my prices by 20%.
Yeah.
A $5 burger becomes $6, okay? A $50,000 car has to become 60 grand, okay? I just have to do it because I got to make up that additional 20% that I got to go hire labor. For people that sell this from the manipulative way that unions sell this, thinking they're doing the right thing, they have no, they don't care about the person that's sitting there, what is going to happen on the other end. You think they care if price is going to go up on 20%? No. They're just happy to getting reelected. Doesn't affect them that much.
Yep.
And by the way, I'm going to send you this thing. Take a look at this. Your states that population change in 2022. Show this chart if you can, Rob, on what happened. I'm sending it to your MacBook Pro. I don't know if you're seeing it, or I'll send it to your phone and the computer. If you're seeing it, pull it up. Check this out.
And while they're looking it up, remember, unions get dues based on a little percent based on what you earn. They'd love you to make more overtime, and they'd love to have more people making less. They make more that way.
100%. So guess what? If you can show this chart, guys, watch this here.
Not the pickle chart, please, Rob. Not
We've had enough pickles for today. Watch this here. Look at this. Make it big so we can see it. You know what that is? That's the states that lost people. And states that gain people.
Yep.
California, keep doing stupid things.
Hmm.
Keep doing it.
People are
the
dropping.
People that are leaving you are the people we want in Florida.
Wow, that's a great chart.
The people that are leaving you, they're coming to states like ours. Keep doing four-day work week bullshit, union stuff, driving the entrepreneur out. Just like you keep losing people like Musk, Rogan, big job creators keep leaving you. First time net... You know, of your population going lower since 1851. You keep doing stuff like that. Look at the North, by the way. Look on the other side. Look at Pennsylvania. Look at New York. Look at what they're going through. Look at Illinois. Look at all those guys. No problem, Oregon. Keep doing it. Texas winning. Florida winning. Arizona winning. Utah winning. South Carolina winning. North Carolina winning.
Montana.
It's totally fine.
There you go.
I would break
West
this down
Virginia
to
losing people.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'll break this down into 80-20 rule. Like 80% of the map where people are getting the hell out of are the overregulated, highly liberal blue states. Typically, right? They're getting the hell out of California. They're getting the hell out of Oregon. They're getting the hell out of New York.
Yeah, less
PA,
paycheck, right?
Illinois, all that. You know, but so absolutely right. They're moving to Florida, Texas, no doubt. But the flip side is the 20%. What the hell's going on in Louisiana, Mississippi, West Virginia? I mean, nobody wants any part of that. Nobody's moving to these states. Just a little food for thought. Nobody wants to be part of a shitty state. And so what kind of rules are going on in those states that is driving out their people? That's what I'm wondering. We know what's driving out people from liberal states to more conservative states. We know that.
You know, I'll tell you, Adam. I'll tell you this. Give me the shittiest state, okay? Let me run it for 20 years.
I believe you'll turn that thing on.
Hear me out. Whatever you call as a shitty state, any one of these states, let us run it for 20 years. It will be the greatest state in America where we'll attract the best talent to come to our small little state that we have. I don't care how big of a state that is. Listen, bad policies have consequences. Bad ideas have consequences. Leadership, good ideas, attracts people who go there because one thing happens to creators. Doers and creators are interested in one thing. They want to feel safe. They want to go to a state that they feel safe. Trust me, they can sit there and say, well, I have to deal with mosquitoes. I have to deal with lizards. I have to deal with rabbits. I have to deal with this. I have to deal with hurricane. I have to deal with tornado. I have to deal with... I don't give you any crisis you got in any state. Free thinkers and doers want to go to a place that they're going to feel safe, that their ideas are not going to be ripped apart, and they're going to be treated like shit like California is treating them.
No doubt.
Period. It's great. And by the way, when people say, well, why is California the top economy in the world, top economy in America, it's the number four, number five economy in the world if it was a country, because of policies that came out 50 years ago, not right now. Policy that came out 30 years ago, not right now. They're so in too deep now that those companies cannot leave anymore. You think if Bezos had to do it all over again, you think he would have gone to Seattle? What do you think? No, but it's too late. You kind of are stuck. Now you're in Seattle across the street from Microsoft.
Yeah.
Some of these things happen.
New York and Wall Street, it's the clearest.
By the way, he's building Headquarter 2 in Virginia. Massive.
After AOC.
For a different reason.
So, Pat, just looking at this real quick, if we had to, as a team, with you as the leader, take over one of these states?
Yeah, it's called Florida, buddy.
No, take it over. I mean, besides us, where would you go on there?
anywhere. I don't care where
you don't give a damn.
I'm just telling you.
I believe it.
I don't care where you put it. We'll get the best people to come.
Pat, I believe it.
I don't care where you put it.
New Mexico, we're going.
Are you about to make an announcement right now? Is an announcement happening right now?
I just bought New Mexico.
Zero interest.
Pat, people are asking.
No.
Everyone wants to know.
No. Don't create rumors. I'm just saying, all I'm saying is certain policies are going to attract those people. I'd be I would be in California for a month straight in a freaking RV driving up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Hey, this is Patrick Bedavid from the state of XYZ. We're here to talk to those of you that are actually working, that are feeling like you're paying too much taxes. We got a solution for you. Come to our state. Come on now. Let me explain to you what we're doing. Well, no. And there's are you sick and tired of the union?
Yeah.
That's what we'd be doing.
Yeah.
We would literally be sitting there recruiting people. Don't worry. Get on the bus. Mm-hmm. We'll drive down to our state.
Get on.
Together. Here. That's what we'd be doing.
I love it.
And we'd have a freaking time of our lives. But we're building a media company. It's a whole different story.
Come on down to Valuetainment where we're accepting applications right now. If you're a free thinker.
Let's go to the next one.
Hey, don't joke about that, because at Valuetainment, on a serious note, if you want to work in media and you want to work in South Florida, you should go check us out, because we've got opportunities for people that want to hustle. Thank you. End of plug.
By the way, it's not even end of plug. We interviewed our 9th editor-in-chief. The people that are calling us are from some of the biggest media companies in America. Pretty impressive people that are coming in with the resumes that are... some of the names we're hiring. We just hired a CFO. We're hiring a general manager to run the entire, our consulting firm is blowing up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We need technology folks. We need CTOs. We need COOs. By the way, qualified. We're not talking about, let me just send a resume because I want to be part of the team. We need folks who are maybe retired, but you had a couple exits for $50 million, $100 million that you have a lot of value to bring to others. We want experts, because we can sell your time as a consultant. There's a lot of different things we're looking for right now. If you do have a resume, email it, robert@valuetainment. Once again, robert@valuetainment.com. robert@valuetainment.com.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, next. Can you play that clip? Jamie Dimon was asked this question. I'm going to read this article, and then I want to play this clip.
COOs. By the way, qualified.
Something's playing here.
Who's this, Pat?
Rob, was that you?
Folks,
I hear Pat.
I hear.
I think it's every time you open it up, it comes up. So I don't know what it's a replay.
We want experts. I hear Pat.
Rob, it's on audio.
Okay.
Okay, so let's take a look at this. So J.P. Morgan is growing in Florida and Texas, states that like business. Dimon says, just play this clip. Let him say what he's saying about these different states. I think you have the clip somewhere. Yeah, that's the one right there. If you can play that, you got it, Rob. Is it? Just refresh it. Click on it to refresh.
There we go.
Tell me we don't have to watch it. There you go.
Yeah.
Audio. Audio, Rob.
In Florida and Texas, states
that like business, Dimon
close
says.
One of the
watch. Just play this clip. Let him say what he's saying about these different states. I think.
I hear the audio on the other.
Rob, one of your windows is open.
Yeah, that one.
Close it.
Let's close that YouTube
one. Anything there. That's YouTube, close it. Okay, let me start it from the beginning. Hang on. Let me start it from the beginning.
We love hearing your voice, Pat. I don't care. It's soothing.
J.P. Morgan is growing in Florida and Texas. States that like business, Dimon says. He says the following about recession. And some people that were not part of these two states were not happy. Play this clip.
What are you worried about?
Great to be here, by the way, so thank you. The thing I worry the most about, if you go, is Ukraine. It's oil, gas, so the leadership of the world, and our relationship with China. I mean, that is much more serious than the economic vibrations we all have to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
On the Ukraine question that we talked about a lot, obviously.
I feel like it's so loud. I don't know what just happened with that clip. If you can...
Because it's live and everybody.
Was Jamie Dimon yelling at that reporter?
No, he wasn't.
No, just picking
by the way,
up all the audio room.
There's a 30-second clip of him saying that. You have the longer one. There's a short of him saying that he's talking about. And while you're looking for that, I'll just read the article here. Mm-hmm. He explains the J.P. Morgan Chase is expanding in Florida, opening branches. We can hear you typing. Opening branches in a state that's seen an increased influx of Wall Street firms since the pandemic. We love Florida. We're growing in Florida, left and right. Jamie Dimon says in an interview in Miami, it's part of a broader move that's seen firms like King Griffin, Citadel move headquarters from Chicago to Miami last year, as well as ARK Investment Management's Kathy Wood relocate to St. Petersburg, Florida. Florida and Texas are states that like business. They want you to come. They want you to come. We now have more employees in Texas than in New York State. It shouldn't have been that way, but Texas loves you being there, okay? Texas loves you being there. How long is that?
This is 57 seconds.
It's pretty much what he's saying. It's the same thing I just read. Play the clip so some audience can see this.
In poor countries, and it's roiling trade relations between America, China, and the rest of the world. So this is a probably the most serious geopolitical thing we've...
No, it's playing the other one, the Rob. It's I don't know what's going on. Your computer's out of whack right now.
Yeah.
It's not playing well. Don't worry about it. Okay, Tom, what are your thoughts about what Jamie's talking about, Florida and Texas?
Jamie is saying out loud what everybody's been watching for the last 10 years that people are moving here. And now what Jamie is saying, here's what he's doing. He's speaking in code. He's also speaking to the governor of New York. You want me to stay here? You need to start playing lies. So there's a little... You know what I mean, Pat? When you say something to somebody and you leave somebody out, the person that's left out gets the message. But he's also stating the obvious, saying, hey, these states want us to be here. The climate's good. Things are good for business. And it shouldn't have to be that way. But Texas loves you being there, with the emphasis on loves you being there. They feel welcome. And he says, and we're growing in Florida. Yeah, so it's where he's getting growth. So... It's I think he's saying, treat me well and I'll show up.
That's it. So treat me well and I'll show up.
I'll say one thing about Florida, being born and raised in Miami. I remember in the 80s and 90s where I was like the weird cousin that lived in Miami. Mm-hmm. Now it's not so weird. Now I'm like, it's cool to live in Florida, but it's kind of like bittersweet to that our little secret, that our cat is out the bag here in Florida. A guy like Pat should have never lived in Florida. He should have been in California. That's where his family's from. But at some point, you're going to push someone out who says, like, if I just do this and this and this, we've done this all the time. At some point, a guy like Pat is going to leave freaking California. A guy like Ken Griffin is going to leave New York. You saw that he was the number one hedge fund manager in the world, by the way. He made $44 billion. What's the number that he made? Some ridiculous number.
$4.5 billion.
$4.5 billion for his firm.
He himself, yeah.
Some ridiculous number.
I think he left Chicago, by the way. Okay. Not New York.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
But I get it, all these guys, you know, are basically moving to Florida. But what the leadership in Florida that we've seen, whether it's DeSantis, whether it's Mayor Suarez down in Miami, hedge funds are coming, big tech's coming, the crypto world has moved here. It's a very good climate to be in, literally and figuratively, for business and for lifestyle. And I think the cat's out the bag of what's going on in South Florida and Florida overall.
I think that there's
bringing up cats.
I think there's a complete different message we're missing on what Jamie Dimon is saying.
What?
Jamie Dimon is in Miami. If Jamie's in Miami talking, doing what he's doing, he's also selling the guy who runs this state called Florida.
Is it that guy,
what's
Ron?
His name? His name is Ron DeSantis.
Ron. I know that guy.
Right? That he just came out with a book, Ron DeSantis. And I don't know if you read his book. In his book, it's interesting. New York Times just did an article about his book. Of course, New York Times has to trash his book. It's what they do for a living. But here's what New York Times said. 5 takeaways from this book. DeSantis avoids clashing with Donald Trump. DeSantis praises Trump for bringing unique star power to the 2016 campaign. He criticizes the Russia investigation and mostly blames Dr. Anthony Fauci and other health experts for federal government's initial response to the coronavirus pandemic. Because Russia was fake and Fauci and them were wrong, okay, for the way they handled it. And Florida showed that they did it the right way, not some other states. Now, again, that is my opinion. A lot of numbers can show that, but that's the first part. Second, DeSantis underplays Trump's influence. It's widely accepted that Trump's support was critical to DeSantis' victory in 2018 race for governor, but DeSantis presents a different take. His debate performance was the clincher, he writes. I disagree. I read the book. DeSantis specifically said that President Trump, one time before DeSantis even announced he's running, he asked him for a favor to say something. Trump tweeted about DeSantis, saying if he ever ran, he would be great, prior to him announcing. Then DeSantis announced that he's running for governor. And then when it's getting close, when the debate happened between him and
Andrew Gillum?
Not Gillum. The Republican.
Charlie Crist?
Not Charlie Crist. No.
You're talking
the
about DeSantis?
DeSantis, the first one he went with. Not
DeSantis, Gillum.
2018.
Andrew Gillum.
Is it Gillum?
2018,
okay.
Yeah.
So he's going against Gillum, and they're having the debate, and then it comes to the point where he needs an endorsement. Mm-hmm. Then Trump tweeted again. So he gave credit to Trump supporting him twice in the book. So whatever New York Times is saying, if the average person doesn't read the book, they're going to say, oh, did you see what he did? In the book, he clearly states if it wasn't for those tweets, that would have not been the same. So he gave credit. I just want to make sure people know that. Number 3, DeSantis sees the COVID pivot point. When 2020 got underway, I was merely a state governor entering his second year in office, DeSantis writes. Within 6 months, I would emerge as one of the leading anti-lockdown elected officials in the world. Yeah, that's true. A pretty big decision
pretty
he
angle.
Made. Number four, DeSantis boasts of his use of executive power. Both critics and courts have rebuked the governor for executive overreach, but DeSantis is unbowed. He writes proudly about promising to overrule any major that did not want to host Ultimate Fighting Championship events during the pandemic. The book touts his removal of the elected prosecutor in Tampa, a Democrat, and he calls state budget vetoes a source of leverage against GOP lawmakers who do not want to face primaries. He explains all of that in the book. Mm-hmm. This the way they're... You were going to say something?
No, I said don't forget about point number one. It's not just the UFC. Yeah. Where did the NBA bubble
NBA,
come to?
That's right.
Everybody. Where did the Super Bowl
Everybody
go
came.
To?
Where did, AOC go for vacation for Christmas?
Right.
She was hanging out with me in South Beach.
She was with
right.
Adam.
Yeah, number five, DeSantis does not dish. Anyone looking for insight into the famously closed-off governor will be disappointed. DeSantis offers a few behind-the-scenes details and skips over some parts of his biography entirely, including a 2016 run for U.S. Senate. He does write about marrying his wife, Casey, at Disney World, but without Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck in our wedding photos. You know, mm-hmm. I will tell you this from reading it. You know how the book was written? I've worked with people like DeSantis in my career. And people like DeSantis in my career that I've met, they're very...
by the book, structured.
Like, let me tell you, this is the kind of guy that from 25 years ago, he was careful on every text and email that he wrote because he knew this day was coming.
Got you.
Okay, this is the guy that's very methodical, who gets in, who's close. I can probably tell you, he probably doesn't have 40 friends. This is the kind of guy that probably has 2 to 5 friends max, is what DeSantis got. And that's intentional. This is not a guy that trusts a lot of different people. This is not a guy that lets a lot of people into his life. So if a person says things like that, would I say, yeah, they're right? Yeah, if you read the book, there's some parts of it where he's aloof. He's not giving you a lot.
Got you.
But that's because that's his personality.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I mean, that's think about having that vision, that focus, that dedication, Pat, for all those years to know that all those years later, it's going to come to a point where you're not going to have that grab them by the you-know-what moment or the this or the text or the you're just a clean-cut Navy SEAL.
You hope.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Never know. If he is the front guy, the left is 100% going to find some shit because they have people looking at that right now for Trump number two, if he's running. And for DeSantis, but it's going to be way more difficult to find it on this guy, bro.
I found that review by the Times a little more balanced than I would have expected from the Times. But there is one thing that they need to go look in the mirror, catch a little reflection. Oh, he abuses executive power. Yeah. It's the New York Times that's been asking Biden to use the executive order pen against conservatives for the past 2 years, and they were pushing Obama last day in office to do, you know, certain executive orders. So let's calm down on that part of it, because that's the way this game is played.
Exactly.
Yeah, obviously he's kind of what he did with we're talking about these 5 points right here. He's basically saying thanks Trump, but no thanks.
Exactly.
You know, hey, yeah. Like appreciate it. What he does here with point number two, like he's saying, yeah, thanks, you got me in 2018.
Yeah, looking out.
But thanks, I'm kind of this way now. But no disrespect. He's kind of not talking trash out there. Even though Trump, you talk about what's going on. He leaked that picture of Ron DeSanctimonious with underage girls. Like, Trump's got to have some more stuff off his playbook. I think at the end of the day, if you're asking just any old average American, what they think that DeSantis sort of represents freedom and Trump is more the chaos candidate, and that's not who's going to be in the primary. I mean, but for a general election.
You know what I saw today? I think it was on Vanity Fair, or I saw it on Economist, or one of them, where it said Trump can still be president even if he's convicted or he's charged or he's this. That's kind of what they were saying.
Really?
Yeah. There is a lot of fear. Is this the one? Yeah, here it is. This is from who? Can you tell me who this is from?
ABC.
Trump could still be elected president if indicted or convicted, experts say. Okay, so let me ask you, why would ABC write this article? Why would you
keep the heat on?
On who?
On Trump. They want to keep the heat on Trump. They want to keep people revved up attacking Trump. They don't want people. They do not want people to back off. That's the last thing they want. Oh, he's been indicted. He can't go. So you back off. And what that does, that clears the runway for DeSantis not to have to build momentum and not have to deal with the Trump conflict.
Yeah, I think to me...
Am I making ABC sound too smart?
No, I get it. I think it shows signs of weakness and fear that Trump could win. I think this shows signs of fear that Trump could win.